I was so dumb, but I hopped on a plane, almost drove right back to the 541.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Alex at TSB Pod. He's Ski at TSB Ski. He's King at Jeromney. The movie for Sunday is Dale and Tucker versus Evil. It is on Amazon Prime. That was a listener suggestion. It was your suggestion this week. It is on Amazon Prime. Go watch it. Hear us talk about it on Sunday. I have heard it's a fun movie, he says, as if he hasn't already watched it. Where should we start?
You know what? I know where to start. I know where to start.
Okay.
So what are you guys doing for Labor Day? Happy Labor Day, by the way. It's Labor Day season, right?
Yeah, it's a season, right? Yeah, it's
right. Isn't this Labor Day season?
Labor Day adjacent. It's Labor Day adjacent.
What do you mean adjacent? What do you mean adjacent? It's Labor Day.
I don't know when Labor Day is.
I'm pretty sure it's September.
Right? Yeah, I feel like I remember it happening recently. Okay.
Yeah, so I just want to wish you guys all a happy Labor Day.
Hey, thanks, man.
Because the thing is,
To you and yours.
Absolutely. To all who celebrate. Because apparently the popular thing to do now is just skip holidays, just calendar jump and be like, oh, it's October 31st. It's Christmas season.
Oh, that's what this is. Okay.
Yeah, that's what this is. It's not Christmas season. Why are you weird? Why are adults so weird about this? My kids don't even care about Christmas right now. Want to know why? Because it's like November 2nd. There's a whole ass holiday that people travel for across the country this month, and people are jumping an additional month after that already. Why?
I got a question for you. Have either of you thought about Christmas present buying yet?
No.
It's November 2nd.
You know when you start is when you first see like the first Black Friday deal you see on TV and you're like, oh, yeah, I guess I should start thinking about that, huh? But then you don't actually do it until around Black Friday happens. So, by the way, after Thanksgiving, not after Halloween.
Here's a question. It's a, hot topic here, but are Jewish people as crazy about Hanukkah as, Christians are about Christmas?
No.
Like, are they jumping 2 months ahead?
Thing.
Like,
no, it's a white girl Christians. Thing. White girls love Christmas. It's so bizarre. A lot of white guys do, too. But white girls love them some Christmas in October. It's so weird.
What do you love? I don't know. What's great about, like, 2 months of Christmas? What are they trying to celebrate for two?
They want to say they like Mariah Carey.
I was gonna have you pump your brakes because Christmas is pretty great. It's still great.
Mind Christmas. It's not my point.
Yeah, big fan of Christmas. But doing it in October is silly.
It's dumb. Like today, I took down Christmas or Halloween decorations. Like, as I'm doing that, I should not be thinking about Christmas, and nor should you.
No, you put up your Thanksgiving decorations. Duh.
And again, people that hate Thanksgiving, boy, they're really telling on their mom. Yeah. I'm sorry you didn't have anyone who could cook in your entire life, but
turkey.
Why is Thanksgiving not bigger? There's football. Is there basketball on now, right?
Yeah.
On all day. You're allowed to start drinking whenever you wake up. You could take naps during the day, and you do nothing.
I don't know about your guys' household, but like there's chips everywhere. Like, chips and dip everywhere in my house.
It's great.
It's great.
Bean dip, queso, salsa.
Get some ranch dip, some
ranch
onion dip.
Onion dip. Oh, it's the best. I don't know.
Spinach dip.
It's just so bizarre that people are like, I'm going to skip this entire day of gluttony to celebrate Christmas.
We need to bring back Thanksgiving. Not my Halloween.
When I'm elected governor of Oregon, we will properly celebrate Thanksgiving.
Tina Kotek, Tina Schmotek. Vote for King.
Vote for me.
Wear a crown and give speeches.
We will celebrate 1 p.m. naps during a Cowboys game and green bean salad. Don't care.
Casserole.
Castle. Yeah, Grimby Castle. Sorry. Yes. It's insane.
You know what you did with the green bean casserole? You lost my vote.
That's fine. Hey, listen, I'm not saying you have to eat it. I'm just presenting it.
I'm stuffing the ballots here for King.
He's harvesting ballots for me.
Yeah.
I need to go someone like Betsy Johnson. I need an independent. That's what I need.
When I'm elected governor of Oregon on October 31st, we will be thinking about sweet potato casserole, not Christmas. I'm just saying. Little pralines and brown sugar on the top.
By the way, since when has Christmas been about Christians, Ski?
Right.
You brought it up. I'm like, what? Ain't nobody care about Jesus. What?
Well, isn't that kind of the one of the 2 days a year that a lot of Christians go to church? Easter and Christmas Day?
Oh, man. Easter at a Baptist church, the best. The best.
I don't know if I told this on the pod before, but I remember it had to be 8 years ago or something like that. My mom, all of a sudden, we had family in town, and she's like, you know what? I want to hear some choir music, some people singing Christmas songs or whatever. And so she's like, you know what? Let's go find a big church, and we'll just go to a big church, and maybe they'll be singing songs and stuff. My whole family steps 2 feet into the church, and we're like, oh, no, 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 no. This is, you know what? They might be singing songs. This is not our vibe. we did, I think you brought it up last week, Steve. We did the Homer Simpson, the Grandpa.
Grandpa Simpson. Yeah,
that's exactly what we did. We sat down, we're like, yeah, you guys want to, let's go get some food. Ah, man. All right. While we're on the topic of religion, let's bring it right back down with Kyrie Irving talk.
Oh, man. You know, when you talk about sports to an audience of 14, and where three of us are right here, one was behind me and one's in the bedroom, so eight other people.
Sure.
You're going to get a lot of stuff wrong. Boys,
do you have a correction? Are we doing corrections?
No, I'm just saying. I have been so consistently right about Kyrie Irving, it's painful.
Oh, yeah. No, we're not correcting anything.
I bailed on that guy 5 years ago. And woo, boy. He is wild.
Is he on that kind of Kanye trend where, like I said, 5 years ago, there's just some small things coming out. And then it just builds and builds and builds. And then...
Yeah.
Just erupts.
We all ignored the red flags for a lot of years. And then all of a sudden it's oh, you're actually a scumbag. Oh, okay. We thought you were just this quirky, weird guy who's this eccentric artist type dude. No, you're actually kind of a piece of shit. Okay.
And an idiot. This could have been almost nothing. If he just gives a fake apology.
If he just lies.
Just lie. Fake. It doesn't have to be even sincere. Just say the words of, I'm sorry, my bad, something along those lines. That's all it would have taken.
Because we know Kyrie didn't watch that whole damn video.
No, of course not.
No, he didn't watch movies. He doesn't read. I don't care what he says. He's just a fake phony. And he could have just said, hey, I only watched 40 minutes of it off and on. I must have missed that part. I am sorry. And you can be totally lying. And it's done within 10 days. It's over with. But his media scrum today was one of the worst sports media scrums I've ever seen.
It was so bad that I forget who he donated $500,000 to. Turned it down.
Anti-defamation.
Turned down $500,000 donation.
You can't give a donation to that organization while also defaming people. That's not how this works. That company's no, we get enough donations. We don't need to take your fucking bribe money so you can look good. Absolutely fucking not.
See, and again, he didn't defame anyone. He put out the tweet about the video. And it could have been an easy backpedal or an easy hey, King said, I didn't watch it all, yada, 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 just a little bit. My bad.
The way he's handled this, he's been defaming.
Yes.
The worst part about Kyrie is he's the kind of guy who acts like he's very smart, and he comes off as this like intelligent, well-read person who is like, yeah, man, I'm a very centered person. I understand lots of different things, blah blah blah. But he's not.
Is he Joe Rogan
at all?
Ooh. You spit a bunch of word salad that sounds smart, and maybe people think you're real smart.
High on ayahuasca the whole time or whatever, and yeah, by the way, I hesitate to say that just because Rogan Nation is a fucking brutal group of human beings.
Of course.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, but that's a very good comparison. They very much talk out of their ass every time they're in front of a microphone, which Rogan is in front of a microphone like every day of his life. So,
but at least Rogan will admit. At least Rogan will sometimes say, like, I'm dumb. Like, I don't understand.
He'll own up to it. Yep.
Kyrie is just like, I'm the smartest person in this room and that room and that room and every room. I'm just the smartest person. It's too much, man.
Is he out of basketball in the next two, three years?
No, he's too good.
See, this is my takeaway from the last week is everybody involved is a fucking coward. Every single person from like leadership for the Nets, Adam Silver, everybody involved is a fucking coward.
Adam Silver couldn't do anything though.
NBA
could not.
Fuck they can't.
I don't.
Actions detrimental to the league. You suspend him until whatever. The Players Association would like argue with them, and they probably would get the suspension taken away. But at least the league will have done something because you can't have players going around doing this kind of stuff.
Did Myers get suspended?
Yes.
I don't think he did.
Yes, Myers Leonard got suspended.
Yes. Okay, I didn't think he got suspended. I thought he donated and like said he would take a course or a class or something to like learn.
I might need to Google this while we're talking about it, but I'm like 90%
because I didn't think he got suspended. So you couldn't have not suspend one guy and then suspend another.
This 5-game suspension. It's so 5-game minimum suspension.
Minimum.
And he has to give like a quote unquote like real apology or whatever. It's like, you know what? Feel free to fucking cut him. You've given him so many chances. Not only just in the last like, week or whatever. You've given him so many chances to apologize simply for that. He's had endless amounts of chances and completely botched them. But like with all of the other stuff in the last couple of years, the amount of times you've bent over backwards as an organization to appease him with like the anti-vax stuff, this guy who you're paying this amount of money to like refused to get a vax and essentially cost you guys games because he couldn't play in a huge portion of your games just because of that. And now he comes out and does this and you're not in. Well, I mean, look, I get it's like a business or whatever. I get these are like multi-million dollar investments that you're putting in. Is this guy worth it? Like, is he bringing in revenue for your team at this point?
Well, no. The Nets are last in the NBA in season ticket sales, which is absolutely amazing. But two things. Myers Leonard was not suspended by the NBA.
Him and the Blazers?
Separate, which eventually turned into a contract termination. But two, thing with Adam Silver is the NBA put out two statements before today, and they just said like, we're against anti-Semitism. With no context, no naming of the Nets, no naming of Kyrie Irving. It's just like saying, we're against toothpicks being stabbed in your eyes. Like, what's the context there? Like, you got to fill in the bubble. Like, I don't know what that means. Today was the first time they've actually named Kyrie, which is just bizarre. And I know Adam Silver is a player's owner. Like Goodell is an owner's owner. Silver is a player's owner, even though he's a meat shield for the owners. The whole thing, man. It's just It was mishandled on so many fronts because, like we said earlier, he could have just lied and said, I'm sorry. And the NBA waited for their third press release to finally name the guy they're talking about. Just, it's weird. It's weird.
And then the Nets. So I'm curious because the suspension is, it says he is currently unfit to be associated with the Nets. And so he's suspended. Okay. At what hypothetically would he have to do to be fit to be associated with the Nets?
All you
want him to do is say, I'm sorry. At this point, he doesn't mean it.
No, of course he doesn't.
So does it matter? Does it really matter if Kyrie comes out and is like, I'm really sorry. I now understand what that video stands for, and that's not something I stand for. I'm not anti-Semitic. I apologize to everybody involved. Are we buying that shit if he comes out and says it?
No, he's clearly lying.
So what the fuck is the point of having him on your roster?
Because he can dribble with between his legs and chew with both hands. That's what it is.
They don't seem to care too much either. I mean, it sounds like they're going to sign Ime Udoka.
Yeah.
And I mean, I still don't know much about what fully happened there. Like, if it was just, you know, an inner office tryst that, just for the Celtics that was bad. Or I remember there was some things that potentially she was suing for, sexual assault or something like that, too.
Incredible.
I don't
know. Incredible.
I do love how the Nets are like, hey, you know what? We're going to take the most thin-skinned superstar ever in KD and then Kyrie with just all of his bullshit. And our remedy will be the guy suspended for an entire year for a inter-office affair, which I'm sure happens in many places.
Yeah, yes.
Some might think. But, there's a power dynamic between him and the woman's who's out there. There's a power dynamic there, and he took it too far afterwards when they stopped having consensual, which it was consensual, but there was some verbal stuff he did. It's just funny that's the guy they're bringing in.
Seems
and
like
I know he
flag.
Coached there. He coached, he was an assistant under even Steve Nash. So I get there's a connection, but it's just the Nets are a beautiful disaster.
Steve Nash, get me the fuck out of here. run in the opposite direction.
You're going to fire me? You're going to fire me and pay me all my money? Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Steve Nash, before he took the Nets job, he had lived on the beach in Manhattan Beach in just this beautiful estate. That man has been sitting at home. It's probably 67 degrees there right now with a nice ocean breeze. And he's got, these 40-foot windows open to the veranda and the beach below. He's loving life. His life is great. He's seeing this Kyrie stuff and being like, well, that timing sucked.
King of veranda guy, by the way. Veranda. Ski. You a veranda or a veranda?
I normally say veranda.
Sure you do. Sure you do.
But if you want to sound pretentious, you call it a veranda.
Speaking of covering your own ass. No, I say veranda most of the time.
I don't even have, I don't have a veranda.
Yeah, how often are you even saying that word?
Veranda.
Hey, if you're trying to get fancy with it, it's veranda.
Yes, definitely a veranda. When you live on Manhattan Beach, it's a veranda. It's like
is there a little N-A over the end there? The veranda.
Depends who's in your
car. Or the R.
Any umlauts? Umlauts and N-A's? Yes, all of the above. We're very cultured on this podcast.
Yes.
Okay, shall we? Do you have any final thoughts on Kyrie?
Nope, he's a flake. Doesn't make anyone better. He's very gifted, but...
Does he apologize and play this year?
He'll play this year. I don't think he'll actually straight.
Has he lost too much money during the COVID years that he can't keep losing more money?
I found a quote an hour ago from September, the end of August, where he was like, oh yeah, I cost myself at least $100 million by not getting the vax from his lack of pay last year. And then he doesn't have a contract going forward. I know he has generational wealth already. But I don't think at this I don't think at this point he cares about the money.
That's what I was saying. Is he going to be in bat? Does he even want to play basketball?
Well, that's a can.
He wants to get paid to play basketball.
He loves to not play basketball.
Yeah.
Most years he doesn't play basketball.
What's his contract? Is it over?
It's just this year. Oh. Yeah, he opted in this year in the summer, and he'll be a free agent.
It's a really good question, Ski.
See, but I think you're wrong. I don't think the Nets will release him because he could get signed somewhere else. They could just suspend him from the year if they want to be like petty with it.
Yeah, I don't think they'll pay him. I don't think they'll release him because that has KD ramifications. But I don't think they'll be there next year. And it shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter. But I can't remember who the media member was, but they said something today where they're like, you know, Kyrie is not playing, you know, weirdly enough, in Kansas City. He's playing in Brooklyn, which is one of the most like Jewish heavy, like metropolitan areas in the
Hasidic
world.
Hasidic Jews are there.
Yes.
Like, they're not really anywhere else.
It's different if you say that in Cedar Falls, Michigan or something, or Rapid Falls, whatever. A lot of falls in Michigan and Iowa. I don't know. I can't keep them together.
A lot of falls that are named after trees.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just different. What a weird borough to make this. And I don't think he's going to apologize. I think he's dug in at this point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are we ready to talk about the Zers? We've gone our 2 weeks. I mean, we can give it another 2 weeks if we want.
You know, since Dame is out, let's just kind of skip over it.
Okay, cool. So when Dame comes back from his injury, then we'll start talking about
it. I will say Shaden Sharpe, fun to watch.
Yes.
No, but we're not going to talk about the fact that Sharpe averages 8 points per game and has 2 starts while Dame's been injured. We're not going to talk about that.
Dale Davis. He has a tattoo that says war.
What's it good for? We're not going to talk
about nothing.
That. Yeah, we're not going to talk about that.
Brian Wheeler had to quit because his testicles kept getting too swollen.
Why? you just made me go Nancy Kerrigan.
Why? So I hate how every time Brian Wheeler, he's not big on Twitter anymore, but every time he tweets, someone puts the image, like that South Park image of someone wheeling their
Randy in the wheelbarrow.
Yes, it's so rude. Like, it's so rude.
Can you
imagine having to step aside from calling NBA games because your testicles get too swollen all the time?
I cannot. It's fucking November. My balls are going inward. They're not going outward.
Are you participating in a No Nut November?
Yeah, but not on purpose.
Yeah, you have a walnut allergy. I get it.
I have a condition.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. We should get to the Ducks at some point. There is lots of college football to talk about, though. I mean, like the rankings came out. Tennessee's number one. Here, I'll just go through the top 10 and we'll see what you guys think. So Tennessee number one, The Ohio State number two, Georgia three, Clemson four, Michigan five, Bama six, TCU seven, Oregon eight, USC nine, LSU 10. Also in the top 25, UCLA 12, Utah 14, Oregon State 23. Your Oregon State Beavers in the top 25.
It sounds, I mean, it's set up nice for the Ducks.
First time the Beavers have been ranked.
Yeah.
First time the Beavers have been ranked in the AP poll since August of 2013. And then they promptly lost to Eastern Washington.
Yeah, that's the fear I have with Oregon now. Because
wouldn't fear it this week.
I'm saying like in the history of Oregon, they always have that loss in November, and it usually comes after the rankings or something like that comes out, and they just lay a colossal egg against a team they should probably beat. Sometimes it's against teams they shouldn't. Like,
they've already played Stanford, so.
Stanford was good, yeah.
Yes.
So, you know, Colorado, I think they should be fine.
Hopefully we're safe.
Their loss against Colorado would be not, you know, winning by 4 scores. Like,
Can you imagine them losing to Colorado?
So Ski, we're not at lines yet. What's the spread for that?
It is 31.5.
So Oregon's loss against Colorado is not covering. 31 is so many points.
So many.
Oh my God.
But so back to the rankings, though, it's set up nice for the Ducks if Utah and Oregon State and USC keep winning. Because then they'll get, you know, those top 25.
Or by the way, like Washington beats Oregon State this week. Washington jumps into the top 25. Like it's setting up good for Oregon. You're absolutely right.
It really hinges on USC's got to win out though, right? And
or UCLA.
Ducks need one or the other. Yeah,
it'd be better if it's USC, but
yes.
Well, I mean, you need more teams to lose ahead of you. That's for sure. Like if you're going to get into the four, you need. You know, you need Clemson to lose, you need Michigan to lose. Like you need,
because we're all big Notre Dame fans this week against Clemson.
So and by the way, you might need Michigan or Ohio State to lose twice, because if their only loss is against each other, like they're still probably ahead of Oregon.
Here's the other problem this week with the Saturday's game too with Georgia Tennessee. Let's say Tennessee loses, they don't make the SEC championship. Let's say Alabama beats Georgia in the SEC championship. All of a sudden, you got 3 1-loss SEC teams that have all beat each other. You know they're going to want to throw all three in.
I bet you they leave Tennessee out. Like, whichever team did not play in the conference championship game gets left out in that scenario.
So here, another scenario then. All right, let's say that happens. So Tennessee loses to Georgia.
They have said that they value the conference championships. Like, they have said that.
Look, Tennessee loses to Georgia. Georgia beats Alabama. Alabama's 2-loss. They're out. I still think they're going to want to put a 1-loss Tennessee in there. But it would be tough to put them in over the Ducks. They both lose to the same team.
Well, I'm just going to guess the championship. I'm just going to guess Tennessee isn't losing to Georgia by 46 like Oregon.
That's the only difference,
I'm going to go out on a limb there. It's probably not going to be 49-3. Just a guess.
Yeah, it's a very uphill battle where you're going to need a bunch of shit to happen for Oregon to get.
But they all play each other, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, and Oregon's schedule, I mean, we are talking about ranked teams pretty much across the board, you know, with the exception of Washington right now. So, you know, if
you just look at the opponent's schedules.
Yeah.
You know, we're taking out kind of disaster stuff. Utah should be ranked. Whoever they play in the Pac-12 championship game will be ranked and probably in the top 10, you know, right? And either Washington or Oregon State will be ranked when they play them. It just kind of depends who wins tomorrow. Because Oregon State's schedule and UW's schedule, they're both pretty easy.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, Oregon on the back end here.
And let's not act like the voters and people around the country don't love Oregon.
No, they got a lot of respect for being number 8. Like I said, 49-3. Like, we saw that game. It could have been 60-3.
Yeah. Kirby was ruthless
for 3 quarters and then took his foot off the gas.
And you keep up this narrative where we're talking about like Bo Nix redemption story and blah, blah, blah. That you better believe, because it's humans. Again, it's humans voting for these things now, and you better believe humans love that shit. Like humans want to see the Bo Nix redemption story end in the playoff. Like they want to see that really bad. So Oregon just needs to do their part and keep winning you know, fairly easily.
I do hope the voters are taking consideration, because the big thing has been about Clemson and their schedule, right? I hate how they go back and say, "Oh, Clemson's got, you know, 3 top 25 wins, you know, and 2 top 15 wins." The 3 teams they beat, they're all 6-2. Is that because NC State was ranked tied to start the season? That NC State stinks. Syracuse stinks. Those are not top 15 teams.
NC State doesn't have their quarterback anymore. Like, they're not, yeah. Syracuse, Notre Dame just went into the Carrier Dome anymore, but whatever it's called, and punked them. Like, and that'll start to separate itself a little bit, but it Clemson at 4, eye test, man. Just eye test. They don't have a quarterback.
I put TCU above them.
So would I. They have Max Duggan. Clemson has DJU. DJU is not good. No. And it's 2022. to be legitimately good, you either have to have the best defense in the world ever, like Georgia did last year, or you're not elite. Like, you're just not. And DJU, decidedly not elite.
So I've said multiple times already, I think Notre Dame's not good this year.
No.
Right? They're 5 and they have five kind of fraudulent wins.
Notre Dame has five wins?
Yeah, they're 5-3.
God, they are awful this year. How is that possible?
They lost to
Stanford. When you play Marshall and Stanford and UNLV.
Win.
BYU, who's not good this year.
Boy, they are not helping Oregon's resume.
No, North Carolina, but the fact that Clemson's only a 3.5-point favorite this week.
But Clemson's going to win out. Like, that's the annoying thing.
Well, yeah, because who do they – yeah, because, I mean
– well, if they don't lose – if they beat Notre Dame this weekend, they're winning out. Like, just – it's a lock because there's no one in the ACC who's going to beat them. And that's the annoying thing.
We got to pin our hopes on Mario.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Good luck. Speaking of Mario – I mentioned this like a week ago or 2 weeks ago. When they lost to Duke, they had 8 turnovers. The last time Miami played Duke in basketball in like March of 2022, they had 6 turnovers.
6 turnovers. Yeah.
In basketball.
And they had 8 in football. That's a great stat. That's a great stat.
And this is a tangent. But
I think everybody knows that Duke is a powerhouse on defense. So, you know, like,
oh, absolutely.
Let's cut Mario some slack here.
Like the great Pete Gillick, Providence coach, said, well, certainly Duke is Duke, and they're on TV more than reruns of Leave It to Beaver. It's only Pete Gillen. Quote I know.
Where the hell did you pull that out of?
I heard it like 10 years ago and it just stuck in my head. But like, and this is a tangent. The thing I hate about Clemson is they've won 2 national championships. They've made it to a third. They've lost in the playoffs twice. So they're obviously elite. But they just boom the ACC so much. The ACC is awful. The ACC, aside from Clemson, is the worst Power 5 conference in the country.
By far, too.
It's like Cincinnati winning out. It's the same thing.
And it just kind of bugs me as a Pac-12 guy that...
That's the future, though. That's the future for the Ducks.
It is. It probably is. Yeah.
I mean, maybe Utah every now and then and Washington every now and then are good to contend. Yeah, it's going to be the ACC of the West.
Yes. They'll add San Diego State and UNLV to be really tough opponents on the gridiron. Wow,
Marcus Arroyo back in the Pac-12.
And Brady Hoke.
Oh, my God. No. No. It's really pushing the national brand thing to its limits, guys. Ugh, when you have to play those dudes every year. Ugh. All right, let's see. Other college stories before we get to the Ducks. I don't really have anything. Do you guys see my boy, C-Mac? I didn't, actually, because I wasn't watching the game. The Rams-Niners game, I was like, after last week, I kind of don't want to see this.
The Rams are bad.
It was auto bet. Auto bet Niners is what it was.
Niners own the Rams, free money. Other than the NFC Championship game last year.
Speaking of the Rams, did you see there's another Sean McVay retirement story that came out today?
No.
Was that because his grandpa just died? Cup, is that what it was?
Stafford and Aaron Donald retire. So is Sean McVay. I think it was Albert Breer who broke that. This guy retires more hypothetically than Brett Favre. Sean McVay, enough. Enough with your fake retirement. Jesus, man.
Might even retire because your team is terrible.
You're like 36. And also, Rams fans, your whole fuck them picks thing. Yeah, it's not good now. You won a title. You win. I get it. But you're not winning again anytime soon.
By the way, Niners traded Jeff Wilson Jr. Suddenly they have like 8 picks in next year's draft, by the way. They're all like late round. I think they have a couple of third rounders. But, you know, like, you can package those and move up. So they still technically have some draft picks. I was worried about that. And by the way, again, like we've said, Niners use fifth round draft picks very well. So we'll see. Catching a touchdown, not quite smart, running maybe a touchdown, throwing a touchdown. Debo,
how are you feeling?
Debo didn't play. I think that's why that happened, by the way. So
yeah, I mean, how are you feeling though? I mean, McCaffrey's not the most, you know, durable guy, and all of a sudden you trade Jeff Wilson out.
Well, Elijah Mitchell's coming back after the bye week, so
that mean someone actually more injury prone than Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah. No, you got Tevin Coleman on the practice squad. It'll be fine.
Are you guys going to sign Will Fuller while you're at it too?
I haven't heard Tevin Coleman's name in a while. I love it. Stokes too.
Okay, so the Eagles just finished off the Texans. They're 8-0. The Eagles are 8-0.
Don't care.
I got a question I was going to ask you beforehand anyways, but since they just won and went to 8-0, who is the most fraudulent division leader in the NFL?
Seahawks.
let me ask you though. Let me run them down. You have Seattle. You have
NFC would be my guess.
So NFC, you have Seattle, you have Atlanta, 4-4 Atlanta. You have Minnesota. Are we saying Minnesota is a legit division leader? Never.
No, that division's
Did you look at that division?
I don't care what their record is. Never.
Their two bottom teams just traded away their best players. In the division.
Are we saying Philly, even though they're 8-0? Are we buying Philly? Giants and the Cowboys are behind them with two losses. The Giants I will never buy. Absolutely not. No. Dallas is behind them with two losses. Are we saying Philly is going to win the division? I'm not comfortable with it.
Look at the rest of their schedule. Yeah, they will.
Not comfortable with it, though.
They're going to be like Tennessee last year. Tennessee somehow had like the best record in the NFL. We knew where they weren't going to the Super Bowl. That's a fraudulent team. They're going to be the same.
AFC, we have two absolutely yes, I'm buying in teams. You have Buffalo and you have KC. Absolutely yes. Baltimore?
Division sucks, too.
I know you hate Baltimore, Ski. Tennessee?
Yes. I just said Tennessee's...
No! No.
Do you know who Tennessee is currently playing at quarterback?
Is the NFL bad?
Malik Willis is the correct answer.
Yeah.
Do you know how many passes he threw in the second half last week?
Whatever it is, it was too many.
It was one.
Well, I mean, Derrick Henry did run for like 250 because the Texans defense is a sieve, but
It's the Texans.
But yet somehow Sirianni decides, oh, Miles Sanders. We're going to run you 15 times against this sieve of a defense. I fucking hate him. Hate Jalen Hurts. Hate him.
Don't like him.
Hate him.
Won't do it.
Can't do it.
All right.
So, like, before we pivot off hot Eagles talk,
yeah,
they'll probably have the best record in the NFL. Maybe second.
Is the Bills record or the Bills? Well, I mean, the Bills, their good teams, right?
The Bills have one loss.
Yeah.
But we all watched the Tampa Philly playoff game last year. I just feel like eventually in the playoffs, like very quickly, it'll be like, oh, Jalen Hurts isn't actually like that good of a passer. Oh, that's why they're down 17.5.
Did you watch any other game last week? He just threw the ball up in the air to A.J. Brown in double coverage, and he came down with three touchdowns.
Not a bad plan, but not
playoff a little different.
Not wholly sustainable. Yes.
Isn't it a trip what happens when your quarterback who throws the ball into coverage and isn't really that accurate gets a elite wide receiver on his team to go catch those balls anyways? Mm. Weird. He turns into a good quarterback. It's crazy. If only. Okay, let's talk Ducks. We've gone like over half.
By the way, speaking of elite quarterbacks,
before we get to Oregon,
this will take 2 seconds. I ran across someone who told me this week that the Chargers would be better off just playing for a top five pick than playing for the playoffs. That's just all I want to say. for all you Justin Herbert fans.
They could play for the playoffs. They still ain't going to make it, though, so you might as well go for the
They'll get the seven seed. They'll get the seven
seed. I don't think I've seen a team more injury hurt
or
in an NFL season.
Coached by Brandon Staley.
Their good players are healthy, though. That's the problem, though, Braga.
They're getting healthy right now. Yeah, I guess if you're 500 going into that, then I'll take it. But okay. Or do you want to do your fantasy football minute, King? While we're talking
about buddy. Hey, it's week 9 in the TSBFFL. Hey, Braga.
I don't
know what Hank Strom used to say about week 8? You know what he said?
Are you a Hank Strom or a Hank Stram guy?
I'm Hank Stram.
It's Stram. I spoke with an H for some reason. I'm thinking of Sheldon kids.
I always say Stram. Right.
I'm thinking of the Sheldon kids.
I don't know.
Strom brothers. But do you know what Hank Stram used to say about week 8 in fantasy football?
I got an idea.
What's your idea?
Up the alley. Yeah.
Said you can't win. You can't win your fantasy football league in week 8, but you sure can lose it. Well, folks, there's a log jam at top at the TSB FFFL. Spod, borderline erotic, and your boy truly sitting here at 5-3. It's a grind up there. It's tough. We got half a season to go. But I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling fine. I don't know who my quarterback is because I don't really pay attention, but I'm sure he's going to come through for me.
Don't know who my quarterback is.
I really don't. I really don't.
I'm like 5-3, whatever. It's whatever. I don't really care. I don't really pay attention to my fantasy team. Oh, 5-3, is that a good record? Okay, cool.
And hey, you know, the midterm elections are next week on Tuesday. And just like that, like I'm going to do, I have to harvest some votes and ballots because I'm an underdog to a 3-5 team named Tua's Scrambled Eggs. How is that possible? I should be a favorite. I'm 5-3, Bo's 3-5. This is unacceptable. It's computer fraud, and I will not stand for it.
I think you need to consult another physician on that.
Hey, Ski.
It's also Tua's famous scrambled eggs.
I'm sorry. Hey, Ski. After you took that L from me, how'd you sleep this week?
Perfectly fine.
I wouldn't sleep that well because you want to know what? I'm your Freddy Krueger, baby. Hey, Charles. What time is the Padres game? Hey. Speaking of Padres, speaking of fathers, Ski, go to bed by 10. I command you. And that is your TSB FFL Week 9 update.
Well done, man. By the way, nice flow. Like,
oh, it's driving me crazy.
I gotta say, It's
driving
great.
Me nuts. I gotta put the hair back up.
It's Nick Cage from Con Air hair right now.
Oh, baby.
I wore a wife beater. Oh, I can't see. Sorry. Scratch that.
Can you not say that anymore?
A white ribbed undershirt.
What do we call that now?
A white ribbed undershirt.
A tight tank?
Tight tank, yes.
I don't know. All right. Oregon beat Cal. 42-24. Oregon put up 42 points and didn't particularly look very good doing it. So
the first quarter was rough.
If Oregon has like a bad game and still puts up 42 and Bo Nix accounts for 6 touchdowns, Oregon might be pretty good. I'm just going to put that out there. So Nix threw his 2 interceptions, but neither interception was his fault. Hail Mary, the other one bounced off Troy Franklin.
I cannot believe how Oregon Twitter talked about that first interception. Like when the replay hit, people were like, oh, okay, yeah, I got it. But on first glance, my timeline was like, Bo Nix, what are you doing? I don't know. throwing it right to a guy's hands, but
hit him right in the numbers,
the 2 yard line.
Oh, I don't, throwing it to my throwing it to my best receiver and hitting him in the chest. I don't know. Is that wrong? Should
is that
I not
bad?
Do that?
Is that wrong? Should I apologize for that?
You can maybe fault the throw. I mean, he wasn't like triple coverage. He threaded the needle in there.
He did. It was a zone. His guy sat in the zone and he threw it to his chest and it bounced off his chest. You don't expect that to happen with Troy Franklin. By the way, Franklin, a really weird game because he didn't really do much like in terms of catches or anything like that. And then he faked the injury before halftime.
That was so great.
That was 100,000% a fake injury by Troy Franklin before halftime.
What gave it away? The evil smile as he's walking off the field?
As he's getting assisted off the field.
Yeah. Is Tosh on the sidelines?
Yes.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Probably looking directly at Tosh as he walked off the field with that smile.
Shades of 2010.
I need a wider angle of that. On the field, I'm also wondering if he was laughing too, because he was sort of like laying there and then the trainers came out and they were sort of rubbing his hamstring or whatever. And he's like, I'm not actually hurt. Like, you know, what are we doing here? And then he gets up. They help him off the field, by the way, and he's smiling the whole time. The wide angle, I need to see if Tosh is looking at him, because this is Oregon doing what the opposing coaches or like just this is Oregon looking back at history and being like, I'm going to troll you. Chip Kelly, I'm going to do the spread wide formation on the extra point or the goal line play, and then I'm going to run it up the middle. Gotcha. Cal, I'm going to fake an injury against you. I know we used to boo that. Gotcha. Genius, by the way, because it stopped the clock. You don't have to. It's an injury.
It cost Nick the interception. Let's say that.
That's all it did.
By the way, Kyle Schwarber just missed a meatball.
He'll do that.
Oh, sorry.
When you take as big a cuts as he does, you're going to miss every now and then.
Yeah, it's not out of the ordinary.
I mean, he also hits absolute nukes when he makes contact.
So again, Nick's 6 total touchdowns, 27 of 35. Most of those incompletions, sort of on drops.
Couple drops,
But you had Hudson with the dropped touchdown.
Oh, that Hudson touchdown.
Oh, that was brutal.
You had Franklin with it bounce off his chest. Hudson, by the way, did recover. So he ended up 4 catches for 67 yards. So you'll take that from him. Again, like they didn't really have to run the ball that much just because Nix was just, you know, they were spreading the ball around the field so well, and Nix was making, again, every single right decision on every single pass play. So I mean, winning, like Bucky, what a Bucky.
Real have? Quiet game from Bucky.
He averaged quiet. 3 yards a carry. He had 10 carries for 32 yards. But he caught 3 balls for 61 yards and a touchdown. Whittington led them in rushing.
I think he was a leading.
Yeah. He had 66 yards rushing, 5 catches, 67 yards, and a touchdown. So it's like, you know, you don't have to run the ball. And when they did run the ball, it was like huge holes all over the field.
Nick somehow threw for 400 yards.
Yeah, 412.
So, yeah, like you're saying, this is probably their worst rushing game of the season.
It was still
okay. I bet they still averaged 4.5 yards a rush.
Well, again, Nix had 60 yards and 3 touchdowns on the ground too.
Yeah.
So, by the way, that juke,
That's multiple times he's had people bite on the pump fake from the 2, and then just puts him on their fucking.
It was like 3 moves in one. He pumped and juked and got around him. Like, fuck.
Ever got someone
man.
To bite on the pump?
Basketball all day.
All right.
Yeah, I was like, what are we talking about here? Is that a? I don't get it.
Sports.
Was that the Ducks' first touchdown? That one.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
It's hard when you have 3 rushing touchdowns to remember which one was which.
It really is. It's a weird situation we're living in with Bo Nix, where he is like a prolific scorer of the football. It's pretty unbelievable. So, okay. So since we're talking about this, King, you put something on Twitter that made a lot of people very angry, in regards to Bo Nix and Marcus Mariota. I would like you to pose the question.
It was Justin Herbert.
Okay.
Yeah, it was Herbert. I just said 2022 Bo Nix is better than 2019 or really any year. Justin Herbert. Tell me I'm wrong. How
for Oregon, there's no question.
I did not say that I think Bo Nix will be picked ahead of where Justin Herbert was picked. I did not say that I think Bo Nix is going to start as a rookie and throw 36 touchdowns or whatever Justin Herbert did. I did not say that. I'm just saying that through 8 games, 2022 Bo Nix is better than 2019 Justin Herbert. And that's not even necessarily an indictment on Justin Herbert.
It's an indictment
on Mario and Arroyo. Yes.
That's exactly what it is.
People were so mad at me. They were so mad.
That Andrew Nemec guy was like flabbergasted and being sort of ridiculous about the whole thing. Like he's over
Andrew
the
top. Andrew Nemec is the worst. Did you see what he posted the next day?
No.
So the polls come out, and, you know, I guess, you know, the polls don't matter, right? AP and coaches. And there were 4 Pac-12 teams in the top 12, and Oregon State was 23.
Yeah.
And he was like, the Pac-12 stinks.
Top 14, top 14, because Utah's 14.
Top 14, okay.
Yeah.
Top 4, you know, 4 in the top 14, Oregon State at 23 or 20. And Andrew Nemec's like, the Pac-12 stinks. Just like always. It's like, dude, what?
Bro.
Why are West Coast college football writers so afraid to be like, hey, you want to know what? Conference is fine.
Yeah.
Like, is there a team that's going to beat Georgia? Probably not. Okay. That's fine. Okay. Okay. But my God.
Like, but five teams in the top 25 for the Pac-12 is great.
And Washington is like 28 now. Like,
that's great.
It's just very top heavy.
The very bottom is very bad.
Yeah, the bottom is terrible. But
are we comparing conferences? Because every conference is top heavy. Like, and some conferences aren't even top heavy. Like the ACC
TCU
is
the only, one or good the team. Big 12 like, is the only conference. It's like everyone's just fine.
Well, like I would say the ACC, you have Clemson undefeated, then everyone had best teams 2 loss after that.
Right. But like
exactly.
Is that what he wants? Is that what he wants from the Pac-12?
Pac-12 writers don't know what they want.
I don't know what they want. What do you want, Pac-12 writers?
Like, so Andrew Nemec runs to the computer on Sunday to be like, oh, there's 5 teams ranked in the top 23. Shitty conference. Last September, Aaron Fentress runs to his phone. Hey, Oregon fans, let me tell you why winning in Columbus isn't good and cool. And I'll show you 19 wins bigger in the last 4 years. And then just 2 weeks ago, James Crepia. Oh, the Ducks are up 42-17 or whatever it was over the frauds in baby blue. Why are Pac-12 media members so defeatist? Especially Crepia. He's from the SEC. You know, you got to elevate and do propaganda for Arkansas was like ranked number 7 on October 3rd. Arkansas, and they have like 4 losses now.
You know what? You know what they write about Vandy? Oh, you put Vandy in another conference, they're probably a top 2 team.
There were 6 or 7 games. I don't understand why people out here have to be just so self-defeatist. Again, I don't think Oregon's winning the national title. They're not. USC, no one is. But as of, you know, whatever it was, you know, November 1st, there were 5 teams ranked in the top 23. Shut up, Andrew Nemec. My God. Why are you putting your childhood trauma back on us? Clearly you were neglected and abused, and someone left for a pack of milk and Marlboros and never came back. Stop projecting that on us. It's enough. It's enough. It's insane. But I'm glad Andrew Nemec cut his hair because he looked like the rooster from Rockadoodle Doo for like 10 years.
I guess
if you know it, do you know what the
I'm trying to think what just, that is.
Do me a favor.
It was Elvis, but a rooster.
All right.
I was going to say, do me a favor, like Google that right now, and I'm going to give some stats. Justin Herbert, 2019 season with Oregon, a 67% passer, 3,471 yards, 32 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Bo Nix right now, 72%, 2,221 yards. So probably going to end up being pretty comparable in that regard. 20 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, also 11 touchdown rushes and 441 yards rushing.
I don't even need to see stats. I could just see with my fucking eyeballs how he looks. Herbert never fully looked comfortable out there. Part of that was the offensive play calls.
Herbert, by the way, 50 rushing yards that year. 50-0. So
they were all in the Rose Bowl.
Was that? Yep. Was that the year they told him, just get down? We're not having you get hurt.
Yep.
Just don't run. Yeah. I mean, I fully agree with King's comment there.
It's not even close. Yeah.
I have not been this comfortable with a quarterback since Mariota. Vernon Adams. Fair enough.
Which was a whole year apart.
I feel like the difference is, so I felt comfortable because, you know, the Ducks lost a couple of games they should not have lost with Vernon Adams too. And so Vernon Adams was more like I really enjoyed watching him play because he was wild. Like he was Johnny Manziel, kind of his style. Gunslinger. Bo Nix, I feel fully comfortable that Oregon is going to score like 70% of their possessions every game. And because, again, he does not make bad decisions. I know we talked about it a bunch last week, but nobody understood me because my mic was all fucked up. So it's like he does not make bad decisions. And I have not felt this safe. I guess that's the word. I feel safe with Oregon's offense since Mariota. Because he's fucking amazing. When he's supposed to run, he runs. When he's got an open, like he did this against Cal, when he's got an open lane to run and he's like, oh, I got Hudson wide open over there. Those to Hudson wide open. I don't know. It's the weirdest thing. Like he looks around, looks at all of his reads, which by the way, he has time to look at all of his reads off of
that's line. A very big thing.
Thank you very much. But also he looks around and then, oh, here's Sean Dollars over there by the sideline. Oh, let's get him the ball. Sean Dollars, being the athlete that he is, gets like 15 or 20 yards. Because he's got playmakers he can do that with. And he knows, he's like, hey, if it's not deep, I'll get it to a guy who's open. Because there's always somebody open because the skill players are fucking bonkers for Oregon.
That's why I hated the Hail Mary call at the end of the first half. They're just like, ah, man, he already had a pick that was not his fault in the slightest. And now he's going to have a second.
Now we're stat watching for that Heisman.
We are totally.
Yeah.
Well, here's a question I pose you guys is if Nix comes out to the draft after this year, is he in the first 5 quarterbacks taken in a very heavy quarterback class as well?
No. Like I just Mel Kiper released his board today for quarterbacks and it was bananas. It was
I assume Stroud is probably one.
No, it wasn't Stroud.
Was it even Stroud?
Oh my god! And there was
Kentucky or whatever.
Yeah, Will Levis was a top 10 pick. C.J. Stroud was behind Will Levis. It was nuts.
A bunch of like NFL prototypical quarterbacks on really random teams this year, just because of the transfer portal. Like so many guys just went to different teams and you have no idea where they are anymore, but they sort of resurface on these teams and are very clearly NFL prospects on just these. Like, no idea. That's why you need Kiper to like That's why you need these guys to do this sort of thing, even though they're full of shit, like most of the time. So I feel like a big takeaway from that game is Coda's injury. I don't know if we've, you know, they don't talk about injuries or anything. Coda put out a tweet about it saying, "I'll be back soon, Duck fans. Don't you worry," something like that. And who the hell knows what that means? But he got hit by Sermon on the side of his knee, and it looked really bad.
I just looked at Kuiper's top 10.
I love the timing, by the way, because I'm talking about Coda's injury, then you just start laughing hysterically.
He's got Cameron Ward as number 6.
Fuck out of here.
He got Tyler Van Dyke from Miami at 5. He's got Tanner McKee. I thought he was the best in the Pac-12. He's at 9.
Is Tanner McKee a first-round pick?
He's at 9.
He has Aiden O'Connell at 10. Purdue is the worst fucking one of the worst offensive teams in the country. It's shocking.
You have to fill out a top 10. You had Tanner McKee at like 1 coming into the season. You have to keep him in your top 10. Jesus. So you know, like the Coda loss is big. Like it is.
Of course, we're not going to know how long he's out for because they don't say shit.
No. It would be a shame if he didn't play Washington. Frankly, just because his name's Coda. I don't think he will. I don't think he plays until a bowl game. Like I, you know, this,
yeah, I feel like the Civil War, well, or the El Grasico, the Dairy Mart duel, sorry.
Right.
Is the closest he'll play.
Because even if it's like a torn MCL or something.
Which I
like
think
that.
Is kind of what the leanings are saying.
So ACL means you're done for the year. MCL, you could come back in like a month and a half or like 2 months or something. In a bowl game, you know, that would be pretty much it. So
we already established he's a possession receiver, so he barely needs to run.
Yeah, right.
Just get 8 yards and stop. That's your routes.
I think receivers need to cut, and I've heard that tearing ligaments in your knee makes it so you can't cut, which is sort of problematic.
Cutting's overrated.
Another big one, the targeting call against Bassa. So it looked like it was going to go against Manning, where Manning would have had his second targeting ejection of the season. But then they call it against Bassa, who is so... It's not targeting, it's leading with the crown of your helmet, which he did. It's the worst tackling form in the history of football. Like it was atrocious. He lowered his head, like was bent over, like just what are you doing, man? Have you never tackled a human being before? Like it was terrible. And he hit him in the ass with the top of his head. So I guess if it's not targeting, but if the rule is leading with the crown of your helmet, yeah, I guess he did it. But it's like Manning.
But that's that. You get suspended Manning, for that, though.
Yeah, it's like Manning actually hit him on the head. Like, I was just like, how do you mess that up so bad? Like, here's my question. I guess, like, can you give both of them a targeting penalty?
Both of them at the same time on the same play? I don't see why not.
I mean, it was right. Or do you have to pick one? That's my question. Does the official have to pick a guy to give the penalty?
Yeah, so could have been a first.
So Bass is going to miss the start of the Colorado game, you guys. Oh. How will Oregon recover? Colorado is going to take advantage of the depleted Oregon linebacking core. I don't know. You guys have anything else to talk
about
in this game?
I'm scared. No, Ducks were down in the second half, and I was never worried at all.
At all. Yeah, again, that's the next thing, right? That's the next thing.
It's a Cal thing, too. Wasn't too worried about Cal.
Yeah, Cal's going to stop scoring, and Oregon is going to start scoring. Like it's.
But and again, it was all in the Ducks. The Ducks should have scored. They left points out there in the first quarter. It wasn't, stalemate, you know, not moving the ball, so I wasn't worried.
I think it was 10 seconds. 10-7 after one, and Oregon had 2 drives that netted 0 points inside the Cal 6-yard line. So.
Yeah, actually got stopped in a couple fourth downs.
Yeah, it's the first two times. Dan Lanning, situational gambles didn't pay off.
You want to know why? Do you want to know why?
Justin Wilcox.
Because they didn't do fourth down quarterback sneaks. Well, you My buddy said the quarterback sneak in their own territory was risky. I was like, it's automatic, my friend. Every single fucking time. Fourth and one. It's the most automatic play in sports.
Well, especially can you do it in college? Can you push the quarterback in college as well?
Oh,
like the NFL?
Yes. Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's they ran it tonight in the Eagles game. It was a fourth and one, and they brought Goedert in the backfield, and his lone job was just to push Hurts forward.
Watch a Bills game. And watch Josh Allen on fourth and one or two. It's the same thing every time. Gabriel Davis comes in motion and pushes him as hard as he can into the ground.
Somebody needs to sign David Boston. They could launch that quarterback 20 yards forward.
Hey, King, you a Goedert guy or a Goddard guy?
I'm a Goddard. I'm a Goddard. What if Goddard was one of us?
Just a stranger on a bus. Trying to make his way home. So what else? Blocked a field goal. Should have blocked a punt. Special teams was okay, I guess.
Secondary.
They got their two picks. But again, they were like Addison, like we said last week, he's the king of the garbage pass interception.
Easiest.
Like the pass.
Oh shit! It's right there. I guess I should catch this.
I guess I gotta catch this, right? Like the
It'd
worst
be real pass, embarrassing if I don't.
The worst pass ever. I would say the worst pass ever, but the next one that Bridges got was literally right to him. Like, okay, I guess I'll pick this up.
They almost little giants Bridges and just threw it in his face mask so he couldn't drop it.
Yep.
It was just.
That was Little Giants, right? Did they do that in Necessary Roughness too?
I think they might have. They did. To Stonehands. Don't throw it to Stonehands.
And he had the plastic face mask.
Yeah, he had the plastic face mask.
Yep. President didn't break it.
How versatile is that actor? He was the wide receiver in Necessary Roughness. Then in the program, he was the linebacker. He just got all jacked and became the linebacker.
Wow. I didn't put that together.
Was it Iowa who ended his career?
Yeah.
Took his knee out. Yeah.
It was a brutal injury.
ESU or whatever they were, they had a real brutal schedule.
Yeah, tough schedule.
Yep. All right. Shall we do lines then?
Yep, lines.
Lines.
Oh, I should probably.
Lines everywhere. Lines. The Phillies only have one more out. If they lose, Bars and Philly are doing lines. Lines.
Lines. Ski.
All right.
Lines.
I gotta find a.
Ski.
There it is.
Ski. All right.
So.
Lines.
Well.
Ski. Lines.
You are.
Lines.
You did not gain any ground this week, Braga.
No! I don't know why I'm in a hurry to do lines.
So, King had 5 points. You had 3. I only had 2.
Ooh.
What my Colorado Star picks are biting me in the ass here.
What am I worse at? These lines or fantasy football?
Well, you're 9 points back. King's got 55. I got 52.
Nine.
You have 46.
Back. Nine.
So, this is a big week this week here. So,
this
game one is they play on Friday, tomorrow. We got the Beavs. They're going up to Seattle, which, from what the weather report, is supposed to be dumping rain and wind.
Monsoon.
Plays to the river.
Plays to the Beavs. Plays to the Beavs.
UW is 4.5 point favorites.
I got Oregon State winning that game.
Ooh.
I mean, I'm not saying that's my bet. I'm picking Oregon State with the points, but also I think they're going to win.
Are you going to star pick them then?
No.
Are you scared? You say
no, I'm not.
I think they're going to win.
All right.
Well, I'm taking the Beavs as well. That this might just be one of those real ugly, low scoring. And I don't think the Huskies can really run the ball very well.
They cannot. As a matter of fact, they don't even try. Yeah.
No. So if it's raining, good luck scoring. So.
I will counter and just say the Huskies.
Yeah, Penix.
Bow down to Washington.
Yeah, Penix throws a lot.
A lot.
Yes.
All right. Let's see, next game we got Wazoo. They're 4.5 point favorites. They're going to the farm against Stanford.
Stanford.
Stanford finally broke their two game winning streak by getting throttled by UCLA.
I just don't think Wazoo's offense is good.
Yeah,
unless they play Oregon.
I just said Kiper had Ward as his number six quarterback in the draft.
Crazy.
I don't like either of these teams at all. I don't feel confident in either team from week to week. That said, I'm picking Washington State. And I don't feel good about it, but I think Washington State wins by like 6 or 7.
Give me Stanford.
Stanford!
Best quarterback in the Pac-12. Can't go wrong.
The most NFL ready, to be sure.
Yeah, he's only number 10 on his Kuiper's list. King, who do you got?
Oh, Stanford.
Stanford, of course. Stanford! All right, next game on QSA, we got Braga's Arizona team. They're going to Utah. Utah 17.5.
Arizona.
Same.
I'm going to take Utah. Arizona's bad.
Yes, they are. They score a whole bunch of points, though. They look pretty good against USC.
They looked okay.
Receivers are good.
All right. Next game, we got Kings Bruins Braga Sun Devils.
My
spread.
Sun Devils.
Bruins, your Sun Devils. Bruins 11.5 point favorites.
This is in Tempe, right?
In Tempe, yes. I mean, it seems so easy to say UCLA. I mean,
yeah,
it sure is.
Yeah, I've seen a couple people pick ASU straight up.
Yeah,
I just don't get it. I just feel like Zach Charbonnet is the best player on the field, easy, and DTR is probably the second. And I'm not even that high on DTR. I'm going Bruins. I'm going Bruins.
Yeah. I mean, so am I. It doesn't make sense to me.
I'm going to pick up that extra point with the star pick for UCLA.
Ooh.
That is a sure thing. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it. Okay, that's why only some people in Vegas have.
That's why you got to play the games. Yep. That's why you got to play the games.
All right. Another interesting one here. Cal going to USC. USC 21.5 point favorites at home.
USC star pick.
I am USC as well.
I also am USC.
Doesn't make sense. We just watched what Cal does. I mean, USC defense not great. Cal's not good, though.
I'll say Oregon did not win by 21.5 against Cal.
Well, backdoor cover. Backdoor.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
I'm a little sick of this Dan Lanning shit of giving up. Like,
I know, right?
Just an easy touchdown at the end.
Two easy touchdowns to the backup quarterback.
It's very annoying.
It makes the defensive stats look bad. It makes the score look bad.
I am not looking forward to 3 years of that long hair that came in and threw those touchdowns for him.
Long hair.
That long hair. All right.
Pink Okami long hair.
Pretty much. All right. Got two add-in games.
Going to the right
first
school.
One. Tennessee going to Georgia. Georgia 8.5 point favorites.
Give me the dogs.
I'm going to take Georgia as well.
I got Tennessee. Not necessarily to win, but 8.5. I mean, I feel like 7 seems like a logical number for Georgia to beat them by.
And the other one I'm doing, staying in the SEC, Alabama, 13.5 going to LSU.
That's too many points. I don't think LSU with Jaden Daniels is going to win, but 13.5, that's too much. Give me the Tigers.
A lot of people think LSU might, end Bama's run this year. I am taking LSU as well.
By the way, I could very easily see Georgia beating Tennessee by like 4 touchdowns. just because they're Georgia. And
if Kirby Smart wants to, if how it goes, yeah,
kind of feels like that. I'm picking Bama in this one. I think it's one of those games where Alabama's just like figures a bunch of stuff out and just sort of runs up the score on them. LSU has these games where they'll just like everybody starts to pick them, they start to believe in them, and then they just
eat shit.
Again, it's the Ducks in random November games. It's like they absolutely get destroyed by a team that is better than them. Bama's better than them.
Speaking of the Ducks 31.5 points going to Boulder.
Ducks.
I got Colorado with the points. Oregon keeps giving up these dumb touchdowns to these dumb teams.
Absolutely. You're not wrong.
Just saying. Follow the trends.
So I'll give you some numbers. I'm taking Oregon with my star pick again.
Well, so it's Colorado.
Colorado, I think I said it last week. Colorado has only last week was the only week they've scored over 21 points in a game. The Ducks have scored over 40 points in every game other than that Georgia game. Ducks might hang a 60-70 bomb on them, and I don't see them scoring over 20. So the math says I take the Ducks.
You think they're scoring 60 on the grass in Boulder? Come on, man.
It's supposed to be 60 and sunny.
Maybe 70 points.
Anybody scoring 60 points in that, like, 8-inch tall grass.
They do have a really tall grass in
Colorado. Get out of here with that.
It's very insane.
Exactly.
Buffs gave up 49 to Minnesota, 43 to Arizona, 42 to Oregon State, 42 to Arizona State.
I'm just saying. I don't need to hear your numbers.
In the world did Bobby Pesavento, Chris Purify, and like Bobby Brown, or whoever that other running Chris
stop,
Brown?
Stop naming random Colorado players. We're about to do trivia.
How did they put up 60 points against Nebraska in 2001 in that tall grass in altitude?
It's impossible. All right, that's it for Lions. Let's do trivia. Colorado Mike trivia. What?
Mike Machete.
Okay.
Random Colorado name.
Chad Brown. Chad Brown was like the actual good NFL player, right?
Joel Klatt.
There you go.
Jeremy all right. Bloom.
Who won last week?
I did. Told you. On a heater.
Obviously. I just wanted to hear you say it. I totally remembered.
And I know a lot about Colorado football.
Of course.
The answer has to be it better be Rasham Salaam for every yes.
So let's start off with a question about Colorado's best season. They have one national title to their name, which is still one more than Oregon, by the way, who has zero.
Zero. Look at the helmet logo.
That national championship came in 1990. They beat Notre Dame in the Orange Bowl to finish 11-1-1. They still had ties back then. Who was their star running back who, despite missing the opener that season due to suspension, rushed for 1,600 yards and 17 touchdowns?
All right.
1990 running back, Colorado.
So that's before Rasham Salaam. I think that's King's boy. Bienemy.
The answer is Eric Bienemy. Nice work, Ski.
Because they were stacked for like seven straight years with those guys.
Yeah, Colorado was very good in the 90s. All right, Ken. So we're onto the alumni part already. This famous actor did not graduate from Colorado, but attended after high school before earning his chops with small parts in 40-Year-Old Virgin and Grandma's Boy. Went on to star in blockbusters. Got nominated for 2 Oscars. Who is it?
These questions are so slanted.
Grandma's Boy, 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Steve Carell. I don't fucking know.
You think Steve Carell was in Grandma's Boy?
I don't. I haven't watched that movie sober ever. I don't know.
I don't know if anyone ever has.
I don't even watch that movie in 15 years.
Do you know off the top of your head, Ski?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
Okay. All right. I will give you your options then. He was in Grandma's Boy and 40-Year-Old Virgin in small parts and then went on to get nominated for 2 Oscars. Very big blockbuster movies. Is it Seth Rogen, Jonah Hill, or Michael Cera?
I think Jonah Hill is the one that got nominated for things, so I'll say Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill is the answer. Yes. Remember he was like super big and had like the weird curly fro and in Grandma's Boy. He was like the one who sucked on the boob the whole movie. Okay. Maybe I'm the only one to watch Grandma's Boy. All right, fair enough.
Yeah. 2003. Right. Yeah. Right. I totally remember it.
All right. Ski. This sports columnist and commentator has been named National Sports Writer of the Year 10 times. Was popularized by his time with Sports Illustrated and ESPN. Also wrote the movie Leatherheads with George Clooney. Who is it?
Who would be friends with Clooney? I'll say...
The Clune Dog.
Peter King.
Is not the answer. King, your options. Rick Riley, Bill Plaschke, or Bob Ryan?
Rick Riley.
Rick Riley is the answer.
Bill Plaschke.
Bill Plaschke.
He said he won awards, right? Not a hack writer.
He did call USC the best team in the nation after being Stanford.
I'm aware.
All right, King. Who is Colorado's all-time leader in passing yards? With 9,763.
Coy Detmer. Like, how can you name Colorado quarterbacks?
Is not the answer. Ski, your options. Coy Detmer, Cepho Lufau, or Cordell Stewart?
My instinct is saying Cordell, but I don't think he played long enough. And Lufau hasn't played all 4 years. Cepho Lufau.
That is the correct answer, Ski. Cepho Lufau. Colorado's
I probably would have said Coy Detmer. King didn't X that one out of there.
Are we saying these questions are slanted?
Many people are saying.
I would never say that, but many people are saying.
I'm not saying it.
I'm not saying this, but many people around me are saying it. All right, King. On September 24th. Is it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, okay. Yes. All right, Ski. On September 24th, 1994, Colorado beat Michigan in the Hail Mary game. Cordell Stewart threw the ball 75 yards in the air. By the way, watch the replay. 75 yards in the air. But who caught it? Keith Jackson on the call for that game, by the way.
I don't know Colorado receivers at all.
He did end up in the NFL.
Laviska Shenault, I know that. Oh, he ended up in the NFL? That doesn't help.
Drafted pretty high, too.
I don't even have a name to throw out. Nelson Spruce. You know, he played like 2 years ago. Or, yeah. And probably longer than that by now, but yeah.
Yeah, that was very recent.
Yes. All right. Then I got them.
All 3 of these options, King, they all played on that team. Your options, Ray Carruth, Michael Westbrook, or Phil Savoy?
See, I was laughing internally because the initials of MW are on my screen. And I also think the person who caught it is Michael Westbrook.
That is correct. He's like a first-round pick. By the way, Ray Carruth was a first-round pick, too. Let's go ahead and just move on from talking about Ray Carruth.
I think Ray Carruth was like a DB. I could not have placed him as a wide receiver.
Wide receiver. Yep. Like 4 of their top receivers historically were on that same team. It's
wasn't he
gross.
Tiny? Wasn't Ray Crew tiny?
It's pretty small. I mean, big
it was
enough.
A different time. It was a different time.
Yeah. Was it?
Yeah. All right, King. King, what is the name of Colorado's stadium?
Folsom Field.
Folsom Field is the answer. Nice work. I was hoping that was going to be like a trick question or something. Colorado Stadium or something like that.
I just know it's that big.
Because it's called Folsom Field, and we know how places like to name their stadium and their field. So,
yes.
Skeet, who is Colorado's all-time winningest head coach?
I think I know this one.
McIntyre.
No. Do you know it?
I think so, but I want to hear the.
Okay, I'll give you some options. Fred Folsom, Bill McCartney, or Gary Barnett?
I'm going Bill McCartney.
Bill McCartney is the answer to the question. So
he's big in Amway and like some like weird Christian religious thing now. Like he's a fucking weirdo.
Sounds about right.
Was he that kind of 80s to 90s guy that where they crushed?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And he was kind of forced to retire early because his values did not align with very liberal.
The rest of the world.
Yes.
At that point. All right. 4-3. King with the lead here. Ski, you got some catching up to do. Three questions left. Colorado has three technical rivals. Nebraska, which is highly debatable, apparently. Colorado State, duh. And Utah, who they have played 68 times. Utah holding the all-time advantage 33-32-3. What is that game called? Colorado v. Utah. Ski.
It's King's turn, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, my bad. All right.
Yeah, I was like,
oh, I see. I'm gonna get close enough to where I'm gonna give it away. Mm-hmm. Is it like the Rumble in the Rockies?
That is exactly the right answer. In those words. Well fucking done.
I thought it'd be like end up being like the battle in the Rockies and you would say like the squabble in the Sasquatch.
Let me give you the three options I had. Rumble in the Rockies, Rocky Mountain Showdown, which is by the way the Colorado State game. Battle in the Rocky Mountains.
Battle of the one really flows off the tongue.
Yeah.
Good job, man. That's a win for King.
Yay!
Yeah. All right, a couple bonuses here before we get to our top three. Colorado's all-time leader in field goals went on to play alongside one current Hall of Famer and one future Hall of Famer at quarterback. Who is it?
Mason Crosby.
Yep, Mason Crosby. Who is Colorado's only Heisman Trophy winner?
Oh, my God. Rashawn Salaam.
Yes, that is the answer. Okay, a win for King. If only somebody, Mike Booble, were keeping track of the results of these so we could see what the season series is. I couldn't be bothered myself. But
I must have got it somewhat close after last week.
For sure, for sure. All right, King, what's our top three? You came up with it.
So Oregon is traveling to Boulder, Colorado. So our top three list today is top three rocks.
Top three rocks. Who wants to start off?
Boulder, Colorado. Do you get it?
I do get it. I do get it.
I'll like start.
It. Yeah.
I'll start. My number three rock. Plymouth Rock.
Didn't land on us.
We didn't land on Plymouth Rock.
We didn't land on us.
Farts are always funny. It gets me every time. All right. My number three is Crystal Pepsi. Technically, I think Crystal might be like a mineral, but does that count?
It's,
is it a stretch? All right. There's my answer. Nice. All right. You got to pull out some more randoms today.
My number three, Rock. As legend has it, as a member of the 1980-something Montreal Expos, Tim Rock Reigns only slid on his belly because he had a bag of cocaine in his shorts.
That would be true.
That would be an amazing explosion to happen if he slid on his ass and just this bag of cocaine just poof all over second base.
All right, my number two Rock is the best Rock saying, which is "Rock out with your cock out."
That's pretty good. Yes. My number two, the over-the-shoulder boulder holder, because I'm a feminist at heart. And
yes.
Wait a minute, no, that's the opposite, isn't it? Because if I was a feminist, I wouldn't like bras.
No, you burn bras.
Burn bras. Okay, never mind. You know, I just think during their era, they were very important because
part of the patriarchy, man.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I guess I need to. Do I need to like make a statement, a formal statement, rescinding my number two selection on my top three? I'd like to apologize to all of the zero women listeners to this podcast. If you could tell the woman you're near that I apologize, even though she didn't hear it. Okay. All right. Well, moving on.
My number two all-time Rock is Sean Connery saying, "Welcome
to the Rock."
Is that Looney Tunes? I can barely hear it. Is Flintstones?
I swear we all, like everyone has always said that line, like, "Welcome." As Sean Connery, and they always like emphasize those real pauses. But in the movie, he's just like, "Welcome to the Rock." He says it like and normal, but that's not as cool as.
Jeez, the Rock truther over here, Ski.
Yep.
God.
Truther.
All right. My number one Rock, Colts legend, even though I played there for like 2 or 3 years, Rock Ya-Sin.
Rock Ya-Sin.
Yep.
Stop it.
I don't even know if he's in the NFL anymore. He's only wastes like a second round pick on him.
He can't be. My number one, Fraggle Rock. Come to Fraggle Rock. Let the music play. Married for another day. I can't believe I'm remembering this right now, by the way.
Down to Fraggle Rock.
Down to Fraggle Rock.
Down to Fraggle Rock.
Love it.
Down to Fraggle Rock. Yeah. My number one Rock. Crack cocaine.
Speaking of having a good run in the '90s.
Yeah, God. speaking of Tim Raines, yeah. God.
Boy, you guys got the team.
It's probably more Daryl Strawberry, or was that Gooden was the one?
Yeah, that was definitely definitely Dwight Gooden. Yep, yeah, Gooden still has a problem with that. As a matter of fact, okay, that feels like a good time to stop the podcast for this week. Do that one more time. There we go. Bye.